there's a lot of bureaucracy when it comes to spending money, and it'd be nice to still spend the money safely, but cut out some of that bureaucracy.
Hello and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. I am your host, James Kennedy, CEO at ProcurementExpress.com, where we help hundreds of companies to safely spend billions of dollars each year. I am joined again by my co-founder, rather, Richard Greenan. Rich, how are you today?
Hey, how are you doing?
So I invited you on to the call because I thought it might be interesting. You have had been invited to an illustrious position recently in an organization, and I thought our visitors might be interested in that.
Yeah, correction. I was elected to the position.
Elected? Okay.
Yes, by the parents of the school. So it's the board of management of one of my kids' schools that I was elected to, and I am the father's rep for that school on the board of management. So the board of management consists of several people, two of which are a mother and a father's rep. I'm the father's rep. And then there is patron's nominee. The patron of the school is the Catholic Bishop of Meath. And then there are two community representatives, which are chosen by the patron or asked to join by the patron. And then two representatives of the school. So the principal, and then there's a teacher as well that's on the board. And then finally, there's a chairperson, and that's the parish priest, because he's representing the patron in all things there.
Great. And this is in a suburb of Dublin, let's say, and we're going to keep it semi-anonymous to protect the innocent so we can get in some details here. But when you say where you were elected, obviously I would hope you would be qualified, but why were you selected? Did you have to put yourself forward? Did you have to have a ticket? Did you have to have posters, or was it an informal?
Anyway, well, it wasn't, yeah, no, not quite posters. Basically, there is an AGM every year. The board sits 4 years at a time. And so the board was coming up. Basically, at the end of 4 years, the board disbands, and then a new board has to be put in their place. So elections for the board members were coming up. Well, the only people elected are actually the parents' representatives, and they're elected at the Parents Association AGM. I've been a member of the Parents Association for the last 7 years, I think, because one of my older children was in the same school. And so I put my name forward.
Very good. So it's an interesting perspective, I guess, for us as well, because it's get to see how the sausage gets made in terms of how the school runs itself and how it organizes itself. So far, I mean, what have you learned about the role of treasurer for this? We should say this is a state school in Ireland. So I guess there's quite a lot of regulation that comes along with it.
Yeah, there's a large governance manual written in both English and Irish that kind of needs to be read. The governance for the board of management of state schools is basically all the same. So there should be the same number of members on the board of management, and then that board has to follow the governance rules. Now, there's a lot of HR and things like that, and child safety policies and all of those kind of things that are part of the board of management. But as the treasurer, my main focus is to look at the finances of the school and try and make sure that they're run correctly, and they have been run correctly in the past. So that's what I'm doing. And my main focus at the moment is to learn as much as I can about the role of treasurer and about how the school runs effectively as a business, and try and put my experiences and my skills into that to try and bring that up to date if I can.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think we should have a chat here about this, about what your plans are. And maybe we'll check in a few months' time, 6 months' time, maybe, to see what actually happened and what's changed. So what has been your experience so far of how a school, fairly big school, about 900 pupils, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's two schools on the campus. So one of the schools, the school that I'm, they're treated separately. One of them is 600 pupils, and the other one's another kind of 600 or so, I think. So it's about 1,100 kids on the campus in total.
And what have you learned so far about how the school is organizing its finances?
Well, at the moment, I mean, things are run, you know, have been run generally well, and they have done in the past. The thing about the kind of board of management is, because it runs every 4 years, different people have done different things in the past. So in the past, there were a lot of budgets created, and now there doesn't seem to be so many. or if there are budgets, then they're kept within kind of or to the principal and not kind of to the wider audience. So it's difficult to know how much money that the school has to spend on particular things. There are grants associated with the school. There's a kind of a per capita grant that I think all schools get, and that's based on per child. And all of those things can be spent on certain things within the school. So you can't necessarily spend that money, I don't think, on kind of school infrastructure, i.e. pavements and building works. And so that would come from a different grant, for instance. So you have to be careful where certain funding is allocated to, and make sure that the things you're looking to spend money on can come from the right grant. So that's a key focus.
Grants is a big one. Just before we get onto that, are you personally, have you signed up, have you got a personal liability in any of this?
No, not a personal liability. I think it's happened in the past with other schools where originally the Board of Management did have personal liabilities, and that created problems where, I don't know, some child maybe fell over in the playground, and I'm not talking about real case law, I'm just guessing, but, you know, and then the board were responsible for that. But now it's, we don't have any specific personal responsibility, albeit that we've signed up to confidentiality agreements and things like that. So I guess the board could come after each individual board member personally, but we can't be sued personally by someone from outside, as far as I know.
Other than you having 2,000 parents who glare at you because you're the guy who ran the thing into the ground and the
social
skin in the game.
Yes.
Okay, so in terms of grants, what would you say is the, it sounds like things have been run pretty well in this school, but what would you say is the biggest challenge that you think you're going to look at over the next 6 months?
Yeah, well, it seems to me that one of the two things, really. One thing is that there's a lot of bureaucracy when it comes to spending money, and it'd be nice to still spend the money safely, but cut out some of that bureaucracy. Notably, the teachers, every teacher gets a certain amount of budget spending per capita. So every parent is asked to pay some money, like most state schools in Ireland. Every parent is asked to pay some money at the beginning of the year towards kind of art supplies and those kind of things. And the teachers receive a grant or an amount per child as a budget that they can go and spend on art supplies or gold stars and all of those kind of things. And the bureaucracy to claim that back for the teacher is pretty high, or it seems to be pretty high. So they have to kind of get paperwork together. They have to staple receipts to it and blah, blah, blah. There's lots of things that they have to do before they get the money back, and they're spending their own money. So I want to cut that out and try and kind of sort that out and put that into an electronic format if possible. I think that we can do that, and we can do that pretty easily, and we can give them the ability to see how much they've got left to spend, because at the moment that budget that they have, they have to either keep that themselves, a knowledge of that themselves, and also the school secretary keeps that on a spreadsheet as well that they have to keep an eye on. So I think we can sort that out. The biggest thing, though, is this kind of problem of budgets, grant budgets and so on, and making sure that the school spends their budget, you know, adequately by the end of the year. So the school year runs from the 1st of September to the 31st of August. That's the school kind of financial year. And so all of the grants that they get from the Department of Education really need to be spent before the 31st of August. And so if there's no money that's, if there's still money left on the table, then, you know, there is a chance. I don't think it's ever happened in our school, but there is a chance that grant can be reduced by the department because the grant wasn't spent the year before. And as I say, I don't think it's ever happened, but I don't want that chance to happen. And given the kind of the political environment in Ireland at the moment, where ministers, you know, get a lot of brownie points for saving money, and governmental mandarins get a lot of brownie points for saving money, then doing things like reducing those grants might be, because a school hasn't spent it down, seems like it might be something that's possible. So I don't want that to happen. And I think that if we budget correctly and we keep a good eye on that, and then we know that we can actually spend that money on things that our kids need in school, and we can spend it down and have it all spent by the end of August, then I think that's a good thing to work towards.
It's the cliche of, and my wife sees this quite a bit in her business, where she get, you know, the end of year marketing budget is up, and suddenly she gets a couple of easy wins in. People buy a few videos from her in her case, because they've got a budget and they don't want to be seen not to be using that budget, so they just spend it. Now, the cliche, of course, is that the challenge is that you just don't spend it just to spend it. You want to actually implement it properly. It's actually kind of an insidious error that can crop up in that you can end up, if you're trying to hit that budget, just spending it for the sake of it. Like the fear of losing that next year is such that it drives behavior in the wrong way. So it's almost like you need to get ahead of that. So budgeting, I guess, plays into that so that people, are you going to have one budget for the whole year? Or are you going to have targets for like certain amount? Like how are you going to land everyone to make sure that they've made intelligent decisions about how they're going to spend their money ahead of the decision?
That's a very good question. I think having the budgets there in the first place is making sure that they're kind of open and transparent and the right people can see them and know what they've got to spend. I think at the moment, you know, it's been run very well, but I think that the most of that is down to the fact that the people who are running it have done this for a long time and they know exactly how much they need to spend and when, and it's all in their head. And I think that, you know, the problem becomes if there is ever a change of personnel, then being able to run it as efficiently becomes an issue because it's not in their head. They have to learn it. So I think having those budgets kind of written down and planned out and having spend accrued for and all of that kind of stuff is important. Another thing at the moment is that, you know, another project that we're working on is making sure that everything's kind of put in the one place. So, and that means, you know, consolidating accountants and things like that and having one set of professionals looking at all of this stuff and making sure that it's all correct and pushing it out. I mean, the school has to do VAT returns now and things like that and making sure it's all done correctly, rather than using multiple people in multiple places and relying on different volunteers. It's just kind of trying to professionalize everything and have someone kind of responsible and paid for doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I think state schools are, we tend to think of them as, you know, small organizations. But in the UK anyway, we did some research on the numbers available from the UK Parliament. Indicates that 6.3% of GDP is actually spent on education, one of the highest in the world. And in aggregate, that's obviously a huge amount of money, and it can be spread across a broad spectrum of schools. But that doesn't mean that, you know, it shouldn't be paid attention to, because it's broken down, I guess, at the smallest. But the budgets could be quite, I think it's something like €25 per student. Is that per year, per month? Or is that right, Rich?
There is. I don't know what the actual figures are, if I'm perfectly honest. I mean, but you have to remember size-wise, you have to remember the principal is essentially the executive director responsible for about 50 staff, which in Ireland is quite a big company. You know, there's a lot of small businesses in Ireland, and 50 staff is pretty big. So they're responsible for, you know, all, and not only are they responsible for the safety and well-being of the staff, but they're also responsible for the safety and well-being of 600 students, like small children, and that's a big pressure as well. So in that regards, yeah, it's a relatively big organization that they have to deal with, and you know, safety and health and all that stuff is probably paramount to finance.
Hmm. Yeah, and then are you expecting to be audited, or is there an audit, a mandatory audit every year, or is it a random audit? How does that work?
There's a set of accounts that have to go up to the finance section of the Department of Education every year. So that's what happens. That set of accounts has to be signed off by the patron, i.e. the bishop. The bishop does that when he comes to the town to do the confirmations. So he signs off on the accounts at that point and goes through them and so on. And then they get sent up to the Department of Education and they get looked at then, I imagine.
And there's a trend towards schools looking at some sort of, obviously, schools are pretty heavy technology users, I guess. Mm. And there's a lot of companies trying to help them, like Google and Microsoft have big programs. You and I were over at the BET program, our BET conference in London, which is education and technology before Christmas. Huge, huge place. It's in the Excel Center. It's the first time I've ever seen that center fully taken up at one conference or exhibition, I guess it is. It was amazing to see it, how many companies are out there. But how about adoption of that technology? Is there a good attitude towards that? Or
yeah, there is. There is. I mean, I think the tricky thing with technology is kind of taking a holistic approach and making sure that everything kind of works together and so on. But there is a big adoption. It used to be that there was a move towards, you know, technology wise, short throw projectors and then kind of some kind of touchscreen technology where you have these kind of touchscreen sensors on a whiteboard, and you can draw on the whiteboard and it puts it on a screen. Nowadays, though, there's a bigger move towards getting rid of the projectors, getting rid of the special touchscreen or board sensor, and actually putting that all into one big screen TV. So there are these big screen TVs that you can get, and that's what people are adopting. But there's great excitement about the use of tablets, iPads, Android devices, and so on. The difficulty there is that the software that you need to be able to teach the kids on those tablets is very, very expensive, has to be paid for on a per user basis. And so, making sure that you pick the right software and that, everybody's happy using it and so on is kind of key there, I think. I think it really comes down to having one or two teachers that are knowledgeable and kind of really enthusiastic about that, because they don't have to do it. They don't have to bring technology into the school. You need the kind of the enthusiasm there. You need there would be a teacher enthusiastic about the school garden. And so they'll end up doing most of the work towards the school garden with a few volunteers. And in the same way, you need teachers that are enthusiastic about technology and are willing to learn and to put those things in place.
And now they have a staff member who is enthusiastic about spend control. So it'll be interesting to hear your experiences over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Rich. Now, if you're interested, if you're listening to this and you are interested in how schools spend their money and the trends and changes and how that's working together with regulatory changes and best practice and advice, we are currently running a survey at Procurement Express. So if you go to schoolfinancesurvey.co.uk, you can take part in a brief survey, which will ask you some questions about how your educational institution spends money. And we will be sharing the results of that, so you can get a kind of a benchmark to base yourself upon, which should be pretty interesting. I think we'll be releasing the survey in the next couple of months. So if you're here listening to this, February, March, 2020, it would be a good time to jump in. Thanks very much, Rich.
No problem. Good to speak to you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. So that wraps it up for another episode of the Gross Profit Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts.